Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
Go with me in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Joshua. Joshua. Chapter 1. Amen, amen. I want to talk to you about on the subject tonight, today, what's next? Have you felt like that? Have you felt like that in the past few weeks, man, the past few days? Is like, what else is going to happen? What else is about to happen? What is the other shoe that's going to drop? What next? Well, Joshua chapter 1. The Bible says, now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your feet treads, I have given it to you. Just as I have spoken to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that it is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. Just let that sink in. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for the reading of your word. May it prosper and bring to us all that it is supposed to bring, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Now, what's next? Because that's the thing that we're all standing around scratching our head. What's next? What are we going to do next? And sometimes, you know, John Maxwell said that a leader needs to know what to do next. I want to punch John Maxwell in the mouth sometimes, because I don't know what to do next sometimes, but the Lord always leads and guides, and I believe he's doing the same thing to you. So what's next? Well, I'll tell you. Joshua takes his place here as one of the greatest military leaders in history. He stands in the top rank of Alexander the Great and Napoleon and the Duke of Wellington. General Joshua compares favorably with the best military leaders America has ever produced. His story begins, though. Think about this. All right, you're taking over the job of Moses, and the first thing that he says to you, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. That sounds like some very bad news, that you're trying to move to the next level, and the man that has been leading you, the man that brought you out of Egypt, the man that led you through the Red Sea, the man who did all this, is now dead. The man who confronted Pharaoh, who called down plagues from heaven, who parted the Red Sea, who met God on Mount Sinai, and the man who brought down the tablets of the Ten Commandments that God wrote with the finger of his hand. He led them through the wilderness. Now they're at the Jordan River, but now he's dead. What will we do? I'm sure that it wasn't just Joshua. It was everybody, like many of you. What are we going to do now? What? Moses is dead. What will we do? Moses is dead. Who's going to lead us? Moses is dead. And I'm sure somebody said, we might as well go back to Egypt. Well, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Well, what are we going to do, Pastor? The church building is closed. Well, we're going to still be the church is what we're going to do. We're going to be the church. And it's forcing the church to get outside the walls of the church and be the church that God's called us to be. So most of us have heard of John and Charles Wesley. Well, John was the preacher who traveled across England, up and down the east coast of even America. And his brother Charles wrote over 9,000 hymns that many churches still sing today. One of them including Hark the Herald of the Angels Sing. But they were so good and committed that they ignited a movement of gospel preaching and holy living that lasted for almost 300 years now. And in 1876, a monument was erected in their memory in Westminster Abbey in London. At the base are these words by Charles Wesley. Here's what it says: God buries his workmen, but carries on his work. God buries his workmen, but carries on his work. What does that mean? That means that one monkey don't stop no show. What that means is just because somebody has died, the mission has not changed. Just because the church is a little different today doesn't mean that the mission has changed. We're still to win the lost. We're still to pray for the sick. We're still to reach out and help those who are hurting. The gospel message has not changed, even though the method has. The gospel message has not changed. And I've come by to tell you, you've allowed me into your living room for me to tell you that we need to begin to be the church. The work is different, but God is still carrying on the work. That could be the theme of the opening verses of Joshua chapter 1. God's worker dies, but God's work goes on. Moses is dead. Hello, Joshua. Moses is gone. Hello, Joshua. Moses, there's nothing else we can do. We mourn. Hello. There's nothing that we can do about our condition right now other than pray. And I'm not discounting prayer. But what we can do is we can rise up and be the church that God has called us to be. You see, there's a saying that some football coaches, they'll say this: next man up. It means that you have to be ready at all times because you never know when your name's going to be called. There are people asking you the questions, and you can't bring them to the church right now, but you can bring them into your house as long as it's under 10. You can bring them in there and watch, but you've got to have a word. You need to know what God is saying. You need to know what to say to them in order to give them hope, because remember, we are to be hope dealers and the carriers of hope in the name of Jesus. See, we've got to be ready. Joshua was God's next man up. Joshua was what was next. And I've come by to ask you today, ask yourself the question, am I ready to do what God's called me to do? Can I witness? Can I minister to my neighborhood, to my family? Because that's who you're ministering to. What the devil wants to do is frustrate you in your call, frustrate you where you are, but the devil is a liar. Can I get a good amen? Karate chop your neighbor and say, he said amen. All right. The only thing that we know about Joshua, there's a few things that we know about his background. He's called the son of Nun, and we know that he came from the tribe of Ephraim. In Hebrew, his name means Jehovah saves. He spent 40 years as Moses' number one assistant. He and Caleb were two spies who brought back a good report when Moses sent out 12 spies to Kadesh Barnea, and 10 brought back a bad report, but he brought back a good report. Since we know that Caleb was 40 years old when the time, Joshua chapter 14, 7, when he came back and when he went out and spied out the land, we can assume that Joshua is the same age or maybe a few years younger, which means that at the opening of this book, he had to have been around 65 years of age. And I take from that good news that God loves to use older men and older women just like he does the young. Remember, we need the strength of the old and the vision of the young. We need the wisdom of the old, but we need the strength of the young. Understand this, church, that we must be brilliant. We must be brilliant in what we do because we've got to get this message out of hope. There are people that are full of anxiety. We have the answer to that, and that is Jesus. He must have been a brilliant tactician because he led the Jews to a long series of victories over the Canaanites, starting with the attack at Jericho. Now, I want you to catch this next one, that he was not as famous as Moses. But that is no criticism because he served God just as Moses did. I'm going to speak to you today as I'm coming into your living rooms. I'm not Billy Graham. I haven't spoke to millions, but I'm speaking to hundreds. I haven't spoke to millions, but I've preached to thousands. You might not be where I am, but what you do is as just as important as what I do and what Billy Graham did. What we do, see, we don't compare each other of how great we are. No, he is great, and we're just over here doing our part of what God's called us to do. So Moses was much more famous than Joshua, but Joshua still served God and did all that God asked him to do. Now, Moses walked with God in a way that Joshua didn't, but Joshua won battles that Moses couldn't fight. There are some areas that you can win that I can't win in. There are people who will listen to you who won't listen to me. There are people who know you and know where you came from, and they will listen to you. Make sure you're using what God has given you. Moses walked with God. Listen, here's the question that we've got to answer. What's next, Pastor? Can God be trusted? That's what you got to ask. Because if you look at circumstances, you're like, oh, but can God be trusted? Can God be trusted? Here's a simple outline of the book of Joshua, and if you're taking notes, and I don't have it, I don't believe on the, not this part. But taking the land is Joshua chapter 1 and 12. Settling the land is Joshua 13 through 22. Retaining the land is chapters 23 and 24. For each of these sections, we could discern a simple command of this. Number one, taking the land. That's where you got to fight. The devil's not just going to give you your land. You got to take the land, and that means that you've got to fight. This ain't a tiptoe to the tulips. You know, as the older I get, don't you say amen out there. I'll come into your living room. But as the older I get, the more I find myself saying this, that getting old is not for sissies. But the other side of that is serving God is not for sissies, because you got to fight to get out of some things that you spent your whole life getting yourself into. You got to fight to get the land. Now, this ain't the message. Why I'm just going to give this to you for free. But then the second part is you settling the land. That's where you move in. That's where you move in to what God has called you. That's where you move in to what God is trying to do in your life. You move in and begin to settle the land that God said you could have. And then the third one is retaining the land, which means that you must be faithful. And that's what we're doing today. Listen, it's been a long time since I've only preached to 9 people. But I can promise you this, that I'm preaching as hard today as I did when we had 900. We didn't have 900, but on Easter. But I'm preaching as hard today as I do any time, because I'm being faithful. I'm retaining the land. And what you need to do where you're at, you be faithful. Yeah, you're not in the house of God, but what the devil wants to do is, once this thing's over, he wants you to stay where you're at. But I bind the devil in the name of Jesus. You need to be in the house of God, but be faithful. Retain what you have and don't lose it. But the people of God face a big question. Moses is dead. What will happen? Behind the question lies a bigger theological issue. Now that things have changed, can God be trusted? Now that things have changed, can God be trusted? Well, Pastor, I can't go to church right now, but God can still be trusted. You got to be the church. You can't just come to church now. You got to be the church. We still gathering. I don't know how many hundreds of people we have gathered in separate living rooms, but we're gathered here today because we're being the church. We are retaining the land. We're doing what's faithful. Behind that question, can God be trusted? Well, I can't go to church. God can still be trusted. Well, my husband of 51 years died. What will happen now? That's the what next question. Pastor, I've just been laid off. What's next? Pastor, I had to lay people off. What's next? See, when you're already have a relationship with God, listen to me closely. When you already have a relationship with God, make sure you zoom in here, Krista. When you have a relationship with God, nothing that matters has changed. Well, you say in my relationship, and I'm not saying that, I'm just telling, everything changes but him. Everything changes but him. He said, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the same God today as he was before coronavirus. I'm the same God today before you got laid off. I'm the same God today before you're having to be isolated in your home. I'm the same God today before you ever got sick. He's the same God. So nothing that matters has changed. You know, I've got some very bad news. On Thursday night, we had, you know, my daughter's getting married next Saturday, and so we had listened to the CDC, and we it was around a couple of hundred people, and then we brought it down to 50 people, and then we went to 24 people. Now we went to 10 people. Man, that's just devastating. But nothing that matters has changed. There's still one woman, one man, who love each other and are going to give themselves in marriage. That's the thing that matters. What? Start looking at your own situation. What really matters? What really matters? You see, it takes time to figure that out sometimes. But after the death of Moses, the Jews must now discover the truth for themselves. I can't give you your truth. You've got to get it. Because every generation must answer the same question. The same question. Can we still trust God today? And I tell you that the answer is yes. You can trust God in this new situation, in this new dynamic. You can trust God when so much has changed. We need to understand that the God of Abraham, he is our God too. The God of Isaac is our God too. The God of Jacob is our God too. And he has not changed it. He has not relinquished his hold on this earth. He's still my God. He still deserves my praise. He still deserves my adoration. And I will praise him and give him glory. Christian young people, you got to figure this thing out. The God of Moses, he is my God too. See, each generation's got to answer that question. It doesn't matter what I say. You're going to have to go on to the Jordan River. You're going to have to find out for yourself. With that in mind, let me take you to a few steps to the future as they reveal the verses a few verses in Joshua that we just read. Point number one is this: let go of the past. Do as the prophetess Elsa said, let it go, let it go. I don't know the rest of that song because my children were older, but let it go. let go of the past. The first verse says, Moses, or second verse, Moses, my servant is dead. So let it go. You got to let go of the past. It's a bad thing that Moses is dead. He served God in his own generation, and when the work was done, God took him home. This is the natural order of things. No one lives forever. Nothing remains the same forever except God. No one does that. Some leaders must go on so that others may arise. Some leaders got to move, and I heard a leader say this not too long ago. He said the best thing that Jesus ever did with the church was to leave it. And I went, what? Because if he hadn't left, he wouldn't have got the Holy Spirit. We got the Comforter. So the best thing he did was, I'm not telling you the best thing for you to do is leave. I'm just telling you that sometimes for other leaders to arise, another leader has to step aside. No, I'm not going anywhere. Don't get excited, Justin. It's okay. He's laughing in the back. It's okay to miss the past, but don't miss the future because you're living in the past. And some of you are missing this new dynamic of what God has for you because you're whining and pining over yesteryear. You're whining and pining over how it used to be. It won't always be the way it is today, but it will change, but it ain't always going to be the way it is tomorrow because things evolve, things are changing. I read an author that said that talked about the law of spiritual progress. And I love this because he says, I can't go back. If I'm going to serve God, I can't go back. I can't stay here, so I must go forward. I can't go back. There's no possible way that you can go back to what used to be. We will never, forever in our lives, those of us who live through 9/11, we can never go back before. I almost forget how it was to go through the airport and not have to almost completely undress just to get on a plane. We can never go back. Can I tell you that after this COVID-19 coronavirus, we will never be able to go back. We will mark it. I will mark. My daughter got married during the heightened part of COVID-19. We will never be able to go back. But you know what? I'm not staying here. I'm not going to stay where I'm at. I must go forward. So you got to make a determination. Am I going to try to go back and sit there and sour, or am I going to stay here? You don't want to stay here. God's got better things for you. God's got greater things for you. So we must move forward. You can't go past. You can't go to the past. Not to relive the good times. What? How many people do you know that are always talking about the good times? Oh, listen, you can't go back and relive them. But you also can't go back and undo the mistakes you made. You can't stay where you are. So life is like a river and it flows endlessly onward. It matters not whether you're happy in your present situation or whether you seek deliverance from it. You can't stay where you are forever. There have been some areas, man, I went through. It's like, okay, I don't want anything else to change. I just want life to be just the way it is right there. But it doesn't do that. It keeps on moving. It keeps going. The only way to go is forward. See, when you're tempted to despair, remember that you can't go back. You can't stay where you are, but by God's grace. Listen, I'm telling you, man, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking to some people who are dealing with depression. I'm talking to people who are dealing with some anxiety. No, calm down. You need to calm down. Slapper. No, I'm just kidding. Calm down. You must go forward by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. You're going to go forward, and you know how you're going to do it? One step at a time. Don't look about 3 months down the road. One step at a time. You just go forward. Point number two is this. Get ready to move forward. All right? I told you you can't stay there. I said, let go of the past. But now step two, get ready to move forward. Because in verse two, he said, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I really do believe what the devil meant to destroy the church is going to do nothing but strengthen the church, because people are looking for a hope, and his name is Jesus. So God never intended for his people in Moses' time to have a little toehold in the Middle East. That was not God's plan. He wanted them to build a nation that would stretch from the desert to Lebanon, from the Euphrates River all the way to the Mediterranean. He said, everywhere your foot will trod, I will, or the sole of your foot will go, I will give that to you. God promised a vast area of them to them that that would move out and take it. If you or I, he said, I will give you every place that your foot steps on. If they did not possess all that God had promised, and they didn't, it wouldn't be God's fault. Some of us are sitting around trying to blame God for why we haven't received or taken advantage of or moved in to what God had for us. And some of us, because we didn't wholly follow the Lord. That's a whole other message. He would give them as much land as they could stand on. That's quite a promise. That's quite a challenge. For the moment, let's focus on what they had to do first. They had to cross the Jordan River. What do you got to do first? You quit looking so far down the road. What do you got to do right now? The promised land and the enemy. The promised land and the enemy. They got to cross the Jordan, but what's on the other Jordan? What's on the other side? Promised land. But what's on the other side? Enemy. We want the promised land without the enemy. We want the good without the bad. We want the victory without the fight. That's not a victory if there's no fight. They crossed at a spot not far from Jericho with its enormous double walls, reminding them that they must fight. I want you to hear me. That you must fight to obtain all God had promised them, so do you. You got to fight for it. Quit letting sarah, sarah. Whatever will be, will be. Get militant about it, man. I'm going to get what God said I could have. Not because it's not a spirit of entitlement. I'm ready to work for or fight for what God promised that I could have. But this is not unusual. When Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, he offers this comment to the Corinthians, he offers this comment on the situation in Ephesus. He says, a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many that oppose me. 1 Corinthians 16:9. He said, a great door has been opened to me, but man, there's a great obstacle. There's a great many who oppose me, and that's always the case, isn't it? Opportunities and enemies often go hand in hand. Often, when you have a great opportunity, that means there's an enemy to fight. Think about David when he faced Goliath. There was a great reward, but he had to fight an enemy. It was an opportunity. And then when he came back into Israel, they were singing about Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his 10,000s. That's what catapulted him into notoriety. That's what catapulted him into the eyes of Saul. You got to recognize that the same battle that gets you what God has for you is also the same battle that makes the devil turn his eyes to you. So you got to continue moving forward. Here's the message to God's people. You can't stay where you are, but the action is somewhere else. You can stay where you are, but there are miracles start at the Jordan River. You can stay where you are, but God is calling us forward. And I'm not staying where we are. What God said to his people then, he says to us now, if you want to see God work, we must move forward by faith, knowing that as we go through the open doors, adversaries await us. Will we have the courage to go forward anyway? That's the question. I don't want to just sit back and sour and soak. And I don't want to, sometimes I get tired of fighting. I'm just like the rest of you. I get tired of fighting, but I've got to fight. Every day I got to get up. Because as soon as I quit fighting, the devil starts gaining ground. But I've got news for you. I've already read the back of the book. We win this battle. You just got to keep moving forward. Amen? All right. So step number three. Affirm the promise of God. What do you mean, Pastor? He said, here's what he said in verse 5. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, as you think about the amazing promise, don't overlook the little phrase, as I was with Moses. You know, Perry Stone put out a post the other day that he had a dream, and he had three dreams, and the one that got me was the last dream that he said that old men that he dreamed he was with some of the old T.L. or Osborne and T.L. Lowry and some of those greats who have gone on before us, and this person come up and he was wearing Old Spice, or he said, Pastor Perry, you're wearing Old Spice. And he said, he thought, what is that? And the Lord spoke to him, if we're going to get through this crisis, we got to carry the same anointing that was on them. My God, somebody hear me. We got to walk in the same anointing that was on them. If we're going to get through this, we need some men and women to rise up with the anointing on their life, with the smell of the anointing of old, with the smell of Moses and the smell of Joshua on their lives, that we're going to go forward and we're going to continue the fight and we're going to finish. And when we get to the other side, we're going to retain what God has given us. Joshua knew all about the Moses because he had been his right hand for many years. Moses stood before Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And when Pharaoh said no, Moses said it again. Did you catch that? It didn't happen the first time. Multiple times he had to keep saying, let my people go, let my people go. And then plagues came down, boils and frogs and darkness and hell and water turned to blood. But eventually God hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not show mercy. And Pharaoh still relented. No, I'm not letting them go. Finally, one terrible night, the death angel passed in through the land and took the life of every firstborn child of Egypt. And that's when he relented. Only those with the blood of the lamb that was over their doorpost was able to stay alive. I've come by. I told you last week, anoint the doorpost of your home. Pray over it. Make sure that you're praying over it. Make sure that the death angel stays out of your house. But can I tell you, only then did Pharaoh grudgingly relent and let his people go. But now, then it goes, what's next? Well, then they let go. They're worshiping. They're hooping and hollering. But then they get up to the Red Sea and they look, and Pharaoh and the army is coming to get them to put them back to where the devil wanted them to be. You think you're done. You think you're free. You think that you've been clean for a month. You've been clean for a year. And you don't think the devil's going to come back and try to grab you and take you back into that hell hole? You've been clean. You've been saved. No, he's going to come back and try to take you back to where you started. But yeah, look at God, though. They were trapped, and the waters parted, and they walked over on dry ground. Later, Moses went up on the mountain to talk to God face to face. When he came down with the Ten Commandments. And for 40 years, their shoes never wore out. For 40 years, their food never ran out. For 40 years, they never lost a battle. Moses, what a man. I'm going to tell you right now, I'd hate to follow up Moses. But now, he is dead. But that phrase, as I was with Moses, God was saying, this is what I did for Moses, I'll do for you. Listen, you're not a second-class citizen, man. You're not somebody that God decided to save because he was in the neighborhood. No, he died for you. God will be with Joshua as he was with Moses. Will he be? The answer is yes. Will he be with you? Just like he was maybe your grandfather, or maybe you can pick out somebody. I wish God was with me like them. He is. You just got to recognize it. Because God said, I'll never leave you. That's a wonderful promise. Many times we at CRCOG, like so many other churches, we'll do this chant, if you will. I'll say, now there's only, like I said, 10 people in here, so y'all participate with me. I'll say, God is good. Now you didn't say it at home. Now I need you to say it at home. God is good. And all the time, that's where that chant, right? We do that chant. Well, I was reading an article the other day that said that that chant originated in Nigeria. And the churches in Nigeria, they would begin to say, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And as a lady from Nigeria wrote this pastor and said, we do say that in our churches. However, we add something after we say the chant. Everybody in unison says, I am a witness. And that changes things. God is good. And all the time. And I am a witness. My God, somebody needs to hear that. I'm a witness that God is good all the time. And all the time God is good. Come on, just say that with me. I'm a witness that God is good all the time. And all the time God is good. You need to be a witness of it. I'm a witness of it. I didn't say everything goes my way. I just said God is good. Doesn't mean that it goes my way. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, and I am a witness. The promise God made to Joshua in verse 5. Did you notice he didn't promise him an easy road? He didn't promise him unlimited victory. He didn't promise him no tears. After all, Joshua is a book of battles, and you read in the early chapters, and you'll discover that they are filled with the sound of fighting. Well, I thought if I got saved, I would quit fighting. No, now you're fighting on the winning side. You're fighting with somebody who's got your back, who'll never leave you nor forsake you. God is saying, you've got to fight for the land that I'm giving you, but I will go with you as you go. Point number 4. Choose the hard road of obedience. Man, that's hard. The Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. Choose the hard road of obedience. Now we come to some very familiar words. After promising to be with Joshua, the Lord tells him what he must do in order to succeed. All right, let me tell you what to do in order to succeed, guys. It starts out, be strong and courageous. That's what you got to do. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land. God says, I swore to their ancestors to give them, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. If you want to be successful, do what the Bible says do. Wherever you may go, you'll be successful. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Verses 6 through 9. 3 times God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. And no doubt Joshua felt overwhelmed at the prospect of taking Moses' place, not knowing exactly what to do. But God begins to tell him what to do right off the bat, because he wholly followed the Lord. Knowing his doubts, the Lord tells him, don't be afraid, because I will be with you wherever you go. And that's some confirmation to us. I will be with you wherever you may go. But there's a catch. There's a catch here. God's promises comes with a condition. What? Yeah. You got to obey. See, we're used to this world. We're used to where everybody gets a trophy. We're used to everybody's entitled even if you didn't work. Praise God. No, in this day, you're not entitled. In God's way, you got to do what he says in order to get what he said you could have. So, what does this mean for us? For that generation, it primarily meant the book of Deuteronomy. But for us today, it means the whole Word of God. The commands are simple. Know God's Word, verse 7. Talk about God's Word, verse 8. Meditate on God's Word, verse 8. And obey God's Word, verse 8. Note the phrase, be careful to obey in verse number 7. I suppose you could flip that around and say, unless we're careful to obey, we will find reasons not to obey. When I'm on a diet, I got to be careful because I revert back to my default. And my default is to eat whatever I want. So I got to be careful. Can I tell you this? That no one drifts into holiness by accident. You don't become holy because you just drifted there. No, if anything, you drift away from God because that's your nature. Well, why? Pastor, I thought I had a new nature. But your soul is older than your spirit, than your reborn spirit. So it's like saying, be careful to stay on your diet. That's just human nature. It is, isn't it? It's just the way we do. But it's not drudgery or a heavy burden. God promises success to the people who are careful to obey. Now let me ask you this question. And I'm winding down. Why did God use Joshua? Well, let's stand back from this story and ask ourselves why God used Joshua in such a big way. Let me suggest a couple of answers, or three answers, to be careful, to be honest. Why did God use him? Number one, when Moses died, Joshua had no master plan. When Moses died, Joshua was ready because he had been preparing himself for years. See, that's the problem. So many of us are not ready to step in. You know, I love what the old preacher used to say. There's an old black preacher. He says, I stays ready so I's don't has to gets ready. So you need to stay ready so you ain't got to get ready. And so many of us, we're not ready to step in. We're not prayed up. We're not prepared up. We're not ready. We got to be ready to step in and do what God's called us to do. Number two, when God called him, Joshua had no master plan, only a determination to obey. He didn't say, well, I'm going to go in here, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. I'm just going to go in there and obey God. People used to ask me, Pastor, what's your 20-year plan? I said, I got a week plan. If I can fulfill this week, I'm going to start on next week. I'm not bashing anybody who has those plans. That's cool, but I don't. And then number three, when he ordered the people to move out, he had no advanced knowledge of the future, but he set out anyway. He said, I don't know what this thing's going to do, but I know God said let's go, so let's go. And God brought victory through Joshua. Joshua was a prepared man. He was a called man, and he was an obedient man. I want to say that again. Joshua was a prepared man, a called man, and an obedient man. I can tell you that you're called, but are you prepared and are you obedient? What Joshua did, any of us can do if we're willing to trust God and step out in faith. So let me wrap this up by three statements of 21st century application. And that is this. When we let go of the past, we are free to pursue God's vision for our future. God, I don't know what the future holds, but I'm going to let go of the best of yesterday and the worst of yesterday and reach with everything that's within me for this new future. I want you to do that song y'all ended on, Josh. Get that ready. Number two, when we lead with courage, others will follow our example. Just lead with courage, man. I'm not going to say you're not going to get depressed. You're not going to get discouraged. But lead with courage, especially you men. Men, lead your family with courage. Man, they're not sure about this, what tomorrow holds. You need to calm your family. How do I calm the family? By obeying God, by being prepared, and by moving forward. Calm your family by telling them it's going to be all right. How? I don't know. But it's going to be okay. And then number three, when we dare to trust and obey, miracles begin to happen. When we trust and obey, miracles begin to happen. Moses is dead, but God is alive. Hello, Joshua. What's next? God's workers die, but God's work goes on. And Lord, today, I thank you for Joshua's story. Grant us that same kind of gritty faith to obey you no matter what. Help us to be faithful until the day that you call us home. In Jesus' name. Right there in your living room. Last Sunday, a whole family that sent word gave their heart to Christ. You can be saved right there in your home if you don't know Jesus, man. Or if you're not, maybe you're not where you need to be. And if you're not where you need to be, that means you're not prepared. So would you pray this prayer with me? Would you just bow your heads and pray, Our Father, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. Cause me to be whole by your blood, the sacrifice that you made. From this day forward, I give you my life and I give you my obedience. Lead me and guide me in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to pray for every sick person. Father, in the name of Jesus, your hand is not shortened by distance. So God, by the authority of the Holy Spirit, by the authority of the name of Jesus, I take authority. Not by my word, but by your word. And I declare healing in every individual who needs healing. Holy Spirit, wherever they may be right now, let your healing virtue flow. And may they be healed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.